Good afternoon. So today I'll be talking about some of the research that we've been doing on the impact of late season nitrogen applications in corn. So it is not very feasible to make nitrogen applications late in the season when it requires high clearance equipment to drive through the growing crop. And this, of course, begs the question, are there benefits to applying a proportion of our nitrogen later in the season? And so if we're thinking about what the potential benefits could be of changing our typical nitrogen timing, the first thing that we should be considering from a plant size is when nitrogen is actually accumulated by the corn crop. And so here we're looking at total nitrogen accumulation over the course of the season, and you can see that the most rapid in accumulation occurs in the late vegetative growth stages, and prior to R1, you definitely have the majority of the nitrogen being accumulated, about 70%, and so this leaves about 30% taken up during the post-soaking period. And to build on this, recent research has shown that modern hybrids appear to accumulate more nitrogen post-soaking compared to older hybrids. And then additionally, modern hybrids may be better able to increase how much nitrogen they take up post-soaking if they incurred an early season nitrogen stress during the vegetative growth. And with this as background, the objectives for this specific study were to investigate if modern hybrids were more responsive to split nitrogen applications compared to hybrids released 20 years ago, to determine the impacts of split nitrogen applications on nitrogen and biomass partitioning at both soaking and at maturity, and to identify potential yield or nitrogen recovery benefits of increasing the synchrony of when we apply nitrogen and when it's actually needed by the crop. So this study was conducted for 3 years in northwestern Indiana on a sandy loam soil, and it was a split plot design where we had our nitrogen rates as the main treatment, and I had a zero nitrogen control, and then rates of 110 up to 245 kilograms per hectare applied as an early season side dress, or the split applications denoted with an F, where the last 45 kilograms were delayed until the V12 to V14 stage. And the two rates highlighted in gold were only added in the third and final year of this project. And then for the subtreatments, we had four hybrids, two hybrids released in the early to mid-1990s, and then two more modern hybrids from 2012 and 14. And this experiment was done from 2014 through 2016. And due to environmental reasons, I'm going to group the first 2 years together, and I'll refer to those as year one, two. And the third year was analyzed separately, and I'll refer to that as year three. All four hybrids were planted at a common density of 82,500 plants per hectare. And I should note that the in-season nitrogen applications, the 45 kilograms, was applied as surface-banded UAN, and this was done by hand in 2014 and with the use of Y-drops in 15 and 16. As I alluded to in the objectives, we had two biomass harvests at soaking and then at maturity. At R1, we partitioned into leaves, stems, and ears. And at maturity, we partitioned into stover, which was the stems and leaves combined, kernels, and cobs. And then a quick note about weather before we get into the results. In these figures, these solid lines are the cumulative precipitation or average daily temperature in that year, and the dotted lines is the historical averages for this site. So we can see 2014 was a really wet year. 2015 was pretty textbook for both temperature and precipitation. And most importantly, in 2016, during the vegetative growth, we had pretty significant drought stress at this site. You can see that it basically didn't rain for the entire month of June. So this really limited biomass accumulation prior to R1. And it's for this reason that 14 and 15 are together as year 1, 2, and 2016 is kept separate as year 3. To get into results, so first we're going to look at the hybrid effects. And you can see that the modern hybrids in blue consistently out-yield the older hybrids in orange. And this is due to an increase in kernel number despite a decrease in kernel weight. However, what we were really interested in was whether these hybrids responded differently to the timings of nitrogen treatment. But we did not see significant nitrogen treatment by hybrid interactions. And so this answers our first objective, that modern hybrids do consistently out-yield older hybrids, as we expected. But we did not see significant interactions between our hybrids and nitrogen treatments. And therefore, for the rest of this presentation, I'll be referring to my nitrogen treatment means as an average of all four of these hybrids. For the biomass accumulation, so first off, in these figures, the hashed bars always represent split applications. Lowercase letters are representing the mean separation for each partition. So we have stems in dark yellow on the bottom, ears in yellow in the center, and the leaves in green at the top. And the capital letters across the top represent mean separation for the total biomass accumulation in this case. So immediately you can see that in year 1-2, we have no impact on biomass at R1 with our nitrogen treatments, with the exception of the zero end being lower. And actually under water stress in year 3, we see no differences among these treatments at silking. For the nitrogen accumulation, it's a little more interesting than that. We do see increases in stem nitrogen content as we increase in nitrogen rate. However, the leaves remain stable across all of the non-zero nitrogen treatments. And I want to note that, focusing on year 1-2, I want to note that the split and single application timings achieve the same stem nitrogen content at R1, despite the last 45 kilograms of nitrogen in the split treatment only having been applied 14 days prior to this biomass harvest. And then the same patterns hold true in year 3, where we're actually seeing no difference in our leaf end content, but again, stem nitrogen content increases with increasing nitrogen rate. And now to take this to the R6 biomass harvest. So again, we only see the zero nitrogen significantly lowering R6 biomass, and this is both in the stover in orange at the bottom and in the grain in yellow at the top, and consistent across all 3 years. And for the R6 nitrogen accumulation, if we focus first on the year 1-2, so the two highest nitrogen accumulating treatments is the 200 split and the 245. And then if we look closer at the comparison of single and split application treatments, at the 200 nitrogen rate, we see a significant increase in R6 nitrogen accumulation in both the stover and in the grain. However, the opposite is true at the highest rate of 245. And then in year 3, where we had very limited nitrogen accumulation prior to silking, at the moderate and high rates of 200 and 245, we again see a consistent pattern of a significant increase in R6 nitrogen content with the use of split applications. And we see the same pattern quantitatively at the 155 rate. However, these are not significantly different. And so how do we get from the lack of differences among split and single timings at R1 and then what we see at R6, where in some instances we do see differences? So the difference, of course, is going to be how much nitrogen is taken up between R1 and R6. And so you can see that for the post-silking nitrogen accumulation, the patterns very much mirror what we're seeing in R6 nitrogen uptake, showing that when we do see an increase in total nitrogen accumulation with the use of split nitrogen applications, it's due to the increase in the amount of nitrogen taken up after silking and not a difference in the nitrogen accumulation rate in that 14 days between the split application and the R1 biomass harvest. And so this is the drive at objective 2. What we've seen is that with the rates that we used in this experiment, we had little impact of our nitrogen treatments on biomass at either R1 or R6. The stem nitrogen content did increase with increasing nitrogen rates, while the leaf content remained stable for all non-zero treatments. And the increases in R6 nitrogen content appeared to be due to increased post-silking nitrogen uptake. And then finally, to move on to grain yield, as you would expect from the biomass figures I showed, we saw very little response in grain yield in this experiment to the treatments that we were using, and this was true both for kernel number and kernel weight. More interestingly, we did see differences in the nitrogen recovery efficiency, and this is being calculated as the amount of nitrogen taken up in the fertilized treatments minus the amount of nitrogen accumulated in the zero nitrogen controls, and then, of course, divided by the nitrogen rates. And so here what we see is that in the instances where we did have positive responses in total nitrogen accumulation to the split applications, we're also seeing an increase in our ability to recover the nitrogen fertilizer. And once again, this very much mirrors the pattern that we're seeing in the post-silking nitrogen uptake. indicating that once again, the difference isn't due to the 14 days between application and R1 biomass harvest, but rather the time period between R1 and R6, the amount of nitrogen taken up then. So for our final objective, we can see that we have very little impact on our treatment on grain yield. However, when we did increase total R6 nitrogen accumulation or nitrogen recovery efficiency, again, this appeared to be driven by the post-silking and uptake. So the take-home messages from this project, that we saw no interaction with the hybrids and nitrogen treatments that we chose to use in this instance, but this was likely due to the 20-year separation in these hybrids not being a wide enough gap to see those differences. The split nitrogen applications did not influence grain yield, but in some instances, at the moderate and high nitrogen rates, we did see increases in total nitrogen accumulation. And when we had higher R6 nitrogen content or increased nitrogen recovery efficiency, this appeared to be driven by the amount of nitrogen taken up post-silking. And if you're further interested in this research, it was published just a few weeks ago in Agronomy Journal. And with that, I would like to thank the organizations that have made this research possible, as well as my advisor, Tony Vine, and our entire cropping systems crew. And I would be happy to answer any questions. Thank you. Sure. So as far as soil properties, we didn't necessarily measure that. We did like basic fertility at the beginning of the season to make sure that we weren't overlooking any spatial variability problems and other nutrients besides nitrogen. And also at the time of the second application, before we had made that application, we did soil sample to try to understand the amounts of nitrogen that were left from the original heavy nitrogen application. And for the most part, that reflected the nitrogen rates. So we did look into that, but I wouldn't say that it provided a lot of extra information, at least to the point that I've worked on it so far. That's a good question. Yes?
Now, realizing circumstances are different, under center pivot irrigation, I've had Dr. Gronis tell me that an application of nitrogen at
So I would say first that under pivot irrigation is the most logical place to use split nitrogen applications because it's so much easier to do them. But at the stage of R3 or R4, there's not that much more nitrogen being accumulated. And also we've looked some into the impact of, another part of this project is looking into the impact of when nitrogen is applied on like the growth rates or nitrogen accumulation rates in the ear, and we didn't necessarily see impacts on that, at least with the treatments that were used here. So as late as R3 or R4, I would probably shy away from, but earlier in the season, you know, as late as R1 maybe, especially if you think that you have nitrogen loss problems, I think that that's a pretty feasible option. Good question. So yes, you're on sandy loam, which obviously your immediate thought would be that we would have higher early season losses. And so in that situation, you would think that you would see more. I should say that, in hindsight, if I was going to do this project again, the first thing I would do is make the first application much earlier instead of doing an early season side dress. And I think that would play into both the soil type and also how likely we are to see differences, that if we had just a bigger separation, we're more likely for loss. And so on soils that lose less nitrogen, you would think there'd be even less potential benefit of seeing improvements with split applications. But in situations where you're on really sandy soils, where you have a lot of precipitation, is theoretically where you would see more differences.
Okay, thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, guys.